wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Nice to see you, Damo.
Hello, Jim, and hello, Bill.
Damien. Jeez, there's some stories going around, so let's get to them before we get positive and negative.
Exactly. Okay.
Ben Stratton. I just want to be a player who plays the game as hard as possible, and as captain, I need to be better at setting an example for not only my club, but also the kids out there. Well said, because he let himself down.
Well said, but too late, given what he did to Ratio Fantasia on Friday night. And he's, as we speak, fronting the tribunal tomorrow. And I feel he'll get 2 weeks, Jim. I think he'll get one for the pinching and one for the stomp on Sean McKernan. Now, that's just my opinion, clearly, but I can't imagine why the match review office would adjudicate on them and then send both to the tribunal without there being, in their eyes, a need for there to be a match sanction.
The whole sending it to the tribunal interests me, especially with the pinching one. All that says to me is, well, it's too hard. Too hard for me, so I'm handing it on. Why don't you have a ruling on it?
Well, they've got a ruling on it, and the AFL umpires themselves have in consecutive matches now, as we know, with Stratton, because it happened in the week before the bye on Charlie Cameron. He was as sore, Bill, and as bruised as Fantasia was, Charlie. So it's two consecutive matches. Now, both games had umpires involved in conversations with Cameron, with Fantasia. One umpire laughed at Cameron, and Razor Ray Chamberlain didn't do much more with Fantasia. So it's an AFL issue as well, and I hope that they have pulled those umpires in, and I hope that they've had a bit of a crackdown as well.
You know, I love, especially in rugby union, the way the referees, as they're called in that sport, handle the players on field. I think it's brilliant. For me, it was as simple Friday night as whoever the main officiating umpire was, and if it's Razor, you know, whoever the senior umpire is, walking into the Hawthorn huddle at quarter time and saying to Al Clarkson and to Ben Stratton, "We know what's going on. Yeah. If I see it once more, I'm pinging him immediately and Essendon will have a shot on goal.
Yep.
So I'm alerting you, the coach, and you, the captain, to the fact that we're across it. And when it happens, don't complain to us."
Yeah.
And I guarantee, Purple, if that had happened, it would not have happened again for the game.
I agree with you, Jim. Take control. And you mentioned there to Alistair Clarkson. I'm throwing him in this debrief on the whole Stratton thing too, because he would have had to have had or did have an awareness of what Stratton did to Cameron in round 11. You then had a break, and then he's done it in the very next game again. Mm. It's okay for Stratton and Justin Reeves, the CEO, yesterday to say that this is not what we stand for, but it's easy to say once you've been caught for doing it. And I don't want to totally discredit the apologies, Jim, because I think it is genuine in Ben's case. And I think Justin Reeves is right to also come out and say that as well, but only after the event. I mean, did he stand for it between round 11 and round 13? Well, we assume he did, because he went back into round 13 and did it.
I hear all of that, and I'm not arguing with you, but I just think the one thing, if you ask any of the 18 coaches, the one thing that they will detest more than anything is an on-field sanction that causes a shot on goal for the opposition.
You're right.
So as soon as that happens,
it stops.
All 18 coaches will go, "Do not do that ever again," and the whole thing finishes.
Or Stephen Hocking comes out today, and we spoke about this yesterday on the Sunday Footy Show, and says, "Righto, no more pinching. This is it. No more. It's done. If we see it again, you get 2 weeks."
Yep. I mean, that's one way of doing it. But, Bill, we get these messages. Think about what happened between October last year and March this year before the game started again. There was to be no punching off the ball. And if there was, it was to be a one, in inverted commas, strike policy where there's a free kick would be paid. We have had that go on all season now. There's been a couple of isolated call-ups of players who've done the wrong thing. But ultimately, you can get away with whatever you want to get away with. And while what you're saying about Steve Hocking publicly going with it would be, I think, a way through forward now.
Well, it would be.
It's just words. What about act on the ground? It's illegal, Bill. It's in the rules. You can't pinch.
I know. The umpires, as Jim said, but now if the AFL comes, the AFL ever come out, and especially now with certainly the security and the fans, do they come out and, I know, is Gil only do 3RW? Is that all he does? Well, to the people?
Remove the crowd thing from the AFL positioning itself on everything publicly. They can't be seen to be responding to everything, Bill. It'd be an hour-by-hour basis.
No, once a week or something.
Look, you could possibly do that, but they like to, I suppose, stick their own time frame, don't they, and their own agendas. And
I know they can't
I reckon your question's valid. I reckon your question's valid, and I do feel the crowd situation's got away from them. And do we want to move on to that now, Jim?
I think we should, because it's causing as much confusion as anything I've seen in the game now for the past 5 years, I reckon. Just from a public perception point of view, people have got no idea what's going on.
Part of me can't believe we're still talking about this. Ultimately, it's a crackdown on behaviour, because that's what it stems from, doesn't it? The allowance of the violence, in inverted commas, in recent years to go unchecked has got us to the point now where people are claiming to be intimidated by security guards going down an aisle. But I just think we just need to just take a breath, all of us, no matter which view you have on this. And I've got a view that I think the supporters are actually going over the top, and I think they need to back off on what they're saying. And I think some of the claims that some of them have made have been quite ridiculous. But having said that, I get their right to have a voice, and I get their feelings about it, Bill. But how are we talking about something that ultimately is for the betterment of the fan?
For me, Purple, it's because there's no actual template that's been released by anyone about anything. So it's an arbitrary ruling by a security guard wearing a red jacket.
Yep.
Who is that bloke? How does he? So is he now the moral police as to what you can and can't do? And if he is, he's working off a template given to him by whom?
Yeah.
So that's where the confusion, I think, comes in. And it's not good enough for me for the AFL to turn around and go, it's got nothing to do with us, because it's at their venue.
Yep.
They've 100% own Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
So they are employing the security guards. So they're the ones that are telling them what they will and won't tolerate.
Yep.
So I'm all for better behaviour at the footy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know you are.
I want it to improve, and so I'm all for it. Yeah. But at least come out and be transparent about what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, I don't think anyone knows.
But we've never seen security guards walk up and down the aisles like they have.
Well, we have. We've just never seen a broadcast focus on it. Now, what Michael Green said yesterday...
We've seen coppers do it.
They're going to revert to doing it once a quarter.
Michael Green is the boss of
Marvel.
Marvel,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And... again, there is a focus on it. And look, your claim, Jim, it's the biggest issue in 5 years.
It's causing as much confusion as anything in football. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's the biggest issue, but there's lots of confusion out there among the punters that go along as to what the rules now look like.
You just take the view, just go to the ground and be respectful, and it'll work itself out.
Well, we know not everyone's able to do that for whatever
it
reason.
Won't. For Coach Sire, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
All right, we're getting positive, Purple.
Yep,
let's
positive.
Get to that.
He's long been a favourite of mine, Jim. You know this, Michael Walters, but a lock for All Australia now in 2019. Past three matches, he's basically single-handedly won them. Now, his team didn't need him to be the single-handed person to do it against Port Adelaide on the weekend, but he was required against Collingwood the week before, or the match before, and then prior to that against Brisbane Lions. So his past 3 weeks have been extraordinary. He's put together already, prior to that, a very, very good season of football, and I love what he's doing because he's produced a spark, Bill, that the Dockers aren't known for.
No, and exactly, excitement and kicking goals. Yep. But did I hear you say that Ross Lyon's got a new love child?
They're saying over there that it's borderline Lenny Hayes, and we know what that means, don't we? Given Nick Riewoldt's often referred to love that Ross had for Lenny and Lenny only.
Nick Del Santo used to actually do the impersonation in the room afterwards. Enormous Lenny.
Yeah, enormous.
Enormous again today, Lenny.
Lost my 10 goals, but you're okay,
you're
Lenny.
Enormous Lenny. Why wouldn't you have great love for him? I mean, he's box office, but he's also incredibly good at what he does.
Well, 6 goals too, just to add to his 30 touches, and
that's a great game.
But one of those rare guys who I say rare because it's easy to not get the ball late, but he demands it late, doesn't he? Like the way he took that mark against Collingwood, the way he led out against Brisbane prior to that, and the way he kicked those 2 goals late in the piece, Bill, because at 3-quarter time against Port, scores were level or thereabouts, so it needed a big last quarter from him, and he'd already played a great game to that point.
1 point they led by Port Adelaide. They did not score in the last quarter. But
5:37 again.
Who's that?
Nate Five.
Oh, is he going well?
Brownlow watch.
His numbers were really good too when it comes to the key stats that win a game of footy. So
he's
having a good year, Jim, as you've been pointing out regularly to
and
us as well.
Obviously a known polar. All right, what else?
And just before we leave the Dockers, Jesse Hogan, I would argue for the first time where he's really clicked. It's understandable given he had a very disrupted preseason, then got himself into off-field strife before the year even started, Bill. But just look good. 3 goals, 20-something touches, and playing the role that they always wanted him to play.
Your mate over there in Adelaide Thursday night, I think there was a personal statement to you from Tex.
Texan.
I think he actually said, where's that four-eyed journalist?
Yeah.
Have some of this.
Was that why he's also leaving the rubbish on the ground that Nathan Broadwin picked up, Jim, as well? Just
I did see him afterwards. He had a cheesy grin on his mustache. He said, Dame, we're all right. I sent him a text, we're all right.
Well liked by opposition players, Jim?
I think. Respected, Bill.
Respected
is what I'd say.
Well, why are you asking that, Bill?
No.
The 2 leaders, again, Rory Sloane, kicking goals. I know they've got great injury availability at the moment, Adelaide.
Yeah.
So they've gone nicely, but I admire those 2 blokes.
Yeah, got themselves to 8-5 too, haven't they? And what they did against Richmond was all that was required. It was a tough grind, wasn't it, for a large part of the game. But they did what they had to do in the last quarter. And I like how they've set themselves up, that they've given themselves a chance now to just make something of a year that 5 weeks ago looked as though it could have gone either way. So put themselves back in the hunt. Still on the positive, Jim, we'll stick with another individual in Charlie Curnow.
How good.
Now, I know they've lost the game of footy, but just watching him run around like the big colt that he ultimately is, and to play with the freedom that he clearly wasn't playing with under Brenton Bolton.
I've got a stat for you here.
Yep.
He kicked 8 goals in 8 games under Bolton.
Yep.
He's kicked 10 goals in 2 games under Teague.
Yeah, 3 goals and 7 in the 2 he's got under.
And ripping a cobber out too.
Did he?
A single, and then once, I think, the Dublé came out, which I loved.
The Nathan Thompson double.
Oh, bang. Out he came. Presence. He's just got presence, hasn't he?
I mean, Santa.
You just follow him wherever he's on the ground. I love it.
and he just looks happy, doesn't he, out there now? And as though he belongs on an AFL ground, because it was hard to watch.
When a forward's on. You just got to watch them. How good are they? Fantastic. They win games for you, Damo.
Who's the best player at the Giants, Bill? I reckon it's a conversation.
Coniglio.
Yeah, well, Coniglio. Is it Toby Green? Is it Whitfield?
No, I told you.
Josh Kelly's a very good player.
Tim Taranto's becoming...
Cameron, well, that's the reason I wanted to have the conversation, Tim Taranto, I think, has put himself into the... You know, into the top 6 or 7 of the club in what is already a star-studded list. And his season has been extraordinary, hasn't it? It's been allowing others to even be better than what they previously were when it comes to that midfield mix. And
speaking of being positioned beautifully, Purple, 9-4, and I don't know what their run home looks like, but I imagine quite a few games up there. They are very, very likely to finish top 2, and this is their best look at it, I reckon.
It is. And even the way they went about it yesterday, it was a tough game against North Melbourne, wasn't it, the Giants? And they just held on until three-quarter time and then just opened it up.
Put their foot down.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have to win games like that, because North, you look on the ladder and you think, okay, Giants have only beaten a team down the bottom 4 or 5 or whatever it is North is at, Bill.
Yeah, 5-8.
5-8, yeah. But it was a bit, they're playing better than the ladder position suggests on North.
Hey,
and
do you know Trino's dad is American?
Yep.
And interesting story, that one. He lives over there. He goes and sees him once a year, and they get on Skype and things like that. Very interesting story. It Mum's done a great job with him.
Yes. Yeah, they love him up there in the Giants.
They do.
Billings, just continuing the positives from an individual perspective. Jim, liking what he's doing this year. He had some genuine troubles last year, form-wise, and just being, I suppose a wanted and valued member of that team. Worked through it even last year, didn't he? And this year's putting it together, and it might well have been his best game of his career against the Gold Coast.
They were calling him Jack Thrillings on the weekend.
Were you, Bill?
No, I just saw it, actually. We should have gone with that. But he got the votes on the weekend. He was very good up there.
What about those two games? I know you do an article called Sliding Doors. Talk about those two. They beat Gold Coast round one by a point.
Yep.
And then this game by... imagine if they lost both of them.
Both of them.
The difference that would make to Alan Richardson's life.
Well, it's a 4-8 scoreline, isn't it? Instead of a 6-6 one that it is.
Two of those losses to a team that many predict will finish stone motherless or in the bottom two anyway.
Yeah.
So, winning's winning. It doesn't matter what happens, but geez, that's close to the wind.
And just one more positive, and similar to the Crows, Essendon, just getting themselves into a situation now where they can actually do something. Now, it's up to them. They've got West Coast this Thursday, and then the Giants the following Thursday. So the two next Thursday games, Bill, Bombers involved, and I reckon they need to win both. But they've given themselves, a nice little chance now to just creep up into the 8 if they continue the form they've displayed now in the past 3 or 4 weeks.
And just as we get to the break, because we've got the negatives next, well done to the Western Bulldogs too. Kicked last 5 of that game, I reckon it was. Kicked 5 kicked in a row and then
the
held
Blues
on.
Came back. But
So mature response to being really challenged in the third term. So even though they just got home in the end, I really liked the way they worked their way back into that game.
It was a great game to watch. Yeah.
It was a cracking game, so well done to them. All right, next we have a look at the other side of the equation, Bill's favourite bit. Now, the other side of the equation, the people that probably didn't get the job done, Purple.
Yes, Purple.
Yeah, we'll go with the Tigers, who can't win the flag now, can they, Bill?
They'll get some back, but no.
No, they were found wanting, weren't they, against the Crows?
They were right early, I thought. They were really good.
Yeah. They were right early, but ultimately when the game was there to be won. 7-6 now after round 13.
But they were never going to win that game. No one tipped them, mate. And I thought it was a bloody good effort.
They hung in for a lot of the game. But in the end, the injury rate is just proves, Damo, it doesn't matter who you are, if you lose players of the quality of Rance, Revolt, etc., Cochin for a lot of the year, It's going to damage anyone. Yeah. Any team on that ladder.
Alistair Clarkson's finding out, isn't he? At Hawthorn.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be other reasons and problems at Hawthorn, because they probably are the next team we need to talk about now. They just seem off the pace bill, don't they, this year? The bad loss to Essendon.
Yeah, it was. But I reckon they've got players aren't playing well, but also they've lost a few good players, haven't they?
Yeah, well, Mitchell being out's the biggest problem. Yeah. The Wingard thing just has not worked, and gave up a bit to get him. Lost Burton in the process, and yeah, look, I was an advocate last year, Jim, when they finished top four after the home and away season, that the two losses in the finals that came in straight sets were just not reflective of where they were going to be at the start of 2019, but basically it was, wasn't it? And they're off the pace.
Their midfield depth is a huge worry to me, just looking at the people they run through there, because modern footy, Collingwood are the greatest example of it. You have 7-8 players who you can roll through the centre square or any stoppage situation, and that's where you build your footy team from. And for me, especially with Mitchell gone, they are very thin.
Yeah. Part of the ground. And up forward, no doubt about that.
And they've
too.
Also got, what, six players over 30?
Yes.
So, that's starting to wear them down too. But they are victims of their own extraordinary success, because they've had 10 years of no access to the draft because they keep winning the flag. So, it had to catch up with them at some stage.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's a hard decision now to work out where they just keep doubling down on the out-of-contracted big names, be they free agents or just recruits, or do they just take a breath, go to the draft? And if you do that, you need to do it for more than 1 year, don't you?
Yeah.
If you look at what set up that glorious era, it was a couple of drafts.
Good one. One where they got
Hodge and Lewis. Yeah. So they had two cracking drafts set up that whole thing. So maybe they got to do it again.
Where's Ruff at? Does he get a game before the end of the year? Surely he's got to get a game.
You'd think he'd get a farewell game, and it would then be for him to accept it under those circumstances, which he's got a decision to make. I can't imagine why he wouldn't, but yeah, he will be seen again on an AFL venue through Alistair Clarkson giving him a chance. But
Stewie Jew told us on the rub that he rang him, didn't he? He wants to get him up there at the Suns.
Off field, yeah, it wouldn't be for – he had a chat to him last off-season about an on-field role this year, and Ruff chose not to do what Hodge, Lewis and Mitchell had done in previous years. And he's paying the price for that. I mean, Alistair Clarkson, what do you want to say about him? He was up front with the conversation, and it's now played out that way. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he does take it.
I've got a negative, Purple.
Yep.
We saw a game, Bill and I, Saturday afternoon. For 80 minutes of that game, I have never seen worse skills in an AFL game in my life.
Really?
The Saints and the Suns. Yeah. It was the worst, especially by foot. How many out-of-bounds on the full?
It was 9 and more.
Yeah, so
we finished at 9.
At the time. So this was halfway through the third quarter, Purple. Yeah. 9 AFL footballers had kicked the football out of bounds on the full.
It's hard to tally that up, isn't it?
It's just it was extraordinary.
The ground
how bad
was beautiful.
Magnificent
day.
It was a bit superb ground, but it wasn't.
It was a bit
not
windy.
A heap of wind.
No, I think it was a bit more than we thought.
And so, Bill, I'm telling you right now, that was as bad a skill. You could go and see a decent game of waffle footy. I reckon you'd see better skill than that.
Yeah. Well, they've now lost 9 in a row now too, haven't they? The Suns. And their first four games of the year, Jim, they had 3 wins, rounds 2, 3, and 4. That one you referred to earlier in round 1 was a 1-point loss to the Saints. But they've been okay since, but it's now 9 games since they last won a game of footy. And it's starting to shape the way I think all of us thought and feared at the start of the year. Long season for the Suns.
Port Adelaide, I've been saying it now for 2 months. You've no idea what you're going to get.
No,
from
you
Port
don't
Adelaide.
Do it. And they're okay, weren't they, against the Dockers? They just weren't able to sustain it. And they got blown away by Michael Walters and co. in that last quarter. But their biggest problems to come out of it, Jim, were the double ruck combo of Lysette and Ryder.
You would have thought,
I mean, Lysette's been a really good player. You bring him into the club from West Coast, you've got the 2017 All-Australian Ruckman Ryder, but it just hasn't worked, has it? I mean, there's been patches of individuality, but nothing combination-wise. And Sean Darcy did a...
In his 18th game.
I won't say did a number on them, but controlled a lot of those battles.
He did.
They could finish, Bill, 6th on the ladder.
Yes.
Or they could finish 14th on the ladder.
Yeah.
And neither would surprise me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. That's how mystified I am at what Port Adelaide are actually going to do.
And neither would actually necessarily be reflective of where they actually are at.
No, they could achieve both of those things out of the back half of this season. North Melbourne, I didn't see the game, but it just highlights, you talk about Hawthorn.
Yep.
It highlights that they have got to build some midfield depth. No Higgins and Cunnington held, and it looked from a numbers point of view anyway, like they were absolutely smashed around the footy.
Yeah, they were, and they couldn't have done much more either, the way they held on against the Giants. And yeah, I think you'd be happy with, you know, Reece Shaw in his third game as coach of North Melbourne, his first loss, but I don't think they're going to be returning to Victoria on the back of that loss. Too disappointed as to where they're at.
They need to get Jacobs if they can ever get him playing. They need to get Davies Uniacke. They need to get Anderson. They need to get some players to come up underneath those two.
Mason Wood's got to be more consistent, doesn't he?
We've been saying this now for three or four years, haven't we?
I know. Hey, it's the tagger, Matt DeBoer. You've got to take your hat off, didn't he? He didn't have a spot down there, and he's been really, really good. So there is a spot for a tagger nowadays in today's footy, Jim.
Especially when you've got the quality around him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure every team could do it, but when you've got those Tarantos and Kellys and
Caniglio.
Yep.
Who is it?
Caniglio. He's set. This is Tommy Brown saying that he's set to talk with Carlton and Hawthorn over the bye.
It's the bye period is when they do it. He's tabled to talk with his own manager, Tom Petruro, for this period too, Bill.
Well, T-shirt Tommy.
T-shirt Tommy. So, Carlton or Hawthorn? Jeez.
Well, Hawthorn, that is exactly what they need.
But then they haven't got these kids coming through, Jim. So.
Yeah. Would you want to go to Hawthorn now if you kill you? I don't know. But it's a harder sell right now than it was this time last year.
I'm not surprised that they're targeting him, though.
We know who else is looking at him.
The Cats. Bill. And while they've sort of distanced themselves publicly from that pursuit, I don't believe they've abandoned the pursuit, Bill.
Because they've got so much available cash, Bill.
Well, the Tim Kelly scenario, again, doesn't help them from a cash.
Because he's being paid a fortune. Yeah,
but it creates a spot.
Scooter Selwood.
I'm not sure about the spot. Zach Smith.
Oh, yeah, a few in the twos that have been.
And they're all on big money.
He won't want that much to come to Geelong.
No, of course he won't. Oh. Yeah. It won't cost him much to buy a house either. Hey, Purple, we got the buses as we go.
We're leaving that one at the Blues because while they've rectified their on-field situation with David Teague taking over as caretaker, just there's going to be a lot of action going on with their coaching search. So we're just going to leave that bus down there.
That bus might leave.
We're leaving it there just to sort of keep an eye on what they're doing, Jim. Who comes, who goes, who might be sneaking in the back door to have a look at the facilities. Haven't done it yet, but we're going to put one down at Melbourne too.
Oh.
Yeah, had the bye.
And the bye. They didn't even buy and they're getting a bus.
It's remiss that we haven't sent one there already,
Bill.
Third
last.
Sitting down in 16th on the ladder and just blown the season up a long time ago. And we probably should have had one there before it got to this stage. So it's our fault that we weren't on top of this earlier.
Yeah, 16th on the ladder, Jim.
All right, that's it. All right, Purple, nice to see you. We'll see you midweek, Rob.
See you then.